Job chapter 19. I want to read from verses 23 down through verse 27. Ask you to stand out of respect for the word of God as we read these few verses. Job chapter 19. Begin with verse number 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Father, we're grateful for your word, and again ask your blessing upon our time that we spend it. And may your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, we began talking about having hope in God or confidence in God. Remember, hope is not something that we would like to see happen, but we have absolutely no idea. It's just what we desire to see. That's the world's definition of the word hope. But the biblical definition of the word hope is something that I can stand upon, something I can take to the bank, something that is settled. There's a lot of things that we have settled with God because He has given us promises in His Word and He has given us assurance in His Word that these things are true and these things are so, and these are things that we can take to the bank and find hope even in difficult days. Has anyone in their lifetime seen difficult days like we face right now in our nation? If it wasn't bad enough that the coronavirus was locking everyone down, now we have mobs taking over cities and rioting and looting and burning. It's easy to lose hope and it's easy to get discouraged and it's easy to get depressed. But this ought not be the way of the Christian. Because we have so much to hope for, even when everything looks bleak. The first message, as I said 2 weeks ago, was we have hope in God for salvation. The fact that God saves. This morning, I'd like to consider for just a few moments the fact that we have hope for heaven. We have hope for heaven. The fact that God rewards. God rewards our faith. God rewards our trust in Him when we bow our head and ask Him to save us and give us eternal life. God assures us in His Word, and we looked at this extensively, verse after verse after verse, where God makes this promise sure. But this passage we have here in the book of Job, one of the most fascinating passages of Scripture in all the Word of God. There's debate as to when the book of Job was written. The average Bible dictionary or Bible commentary will tell you that Job was written before the flood. Now, I tend to disagree with that. But the reason they date it before the flood is because Job gives us later on in the book a very detailed description of the dinosaur. Two different dinosaurs, Leviathan and Behemoth. And those that date it before the flood say the dinosaurs never lived beyond the flood. The flood wiped all of them away. Or they may perhaps even reject the whole thought that there ever really were dinosaurs. There's people who do that, or they say that dinosaurs and man did not walk on the planet at the same time. Well, that's because they don't believe the Word of God. These are the people that have no hope in God, no confidence, no assurance. They might talk about heaven, but it's just something they would like to see happen, something that they hope will be in their future, but they have no confidence, no assurance. But we, being based on the Word of God, are different. Job probably lived sometime around the patriarchal age, which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so many centuries ago, Job had this confidence that there is a God in heaven, and that there is a heaven to gain, and there was a hell to shun. And Job ordered his life after that belief And in that confidence, if you read through the book of Job, and I remember as a new Christian coming to this book and scratching my head, and when I would read through my Bible every year, I would, oh no, not Job again. This is going to be long and it's going to be drudgery. But now I can't wait to get the book of Job. In fact, did you know every year when I read my Bible, every year I read my Bible through, and on January 1st, I read Job chapter 1. I read it first. I've already read through the book. It's been a long time since I read the book of Job because I love the book of Job. Now, I'm glad I don't have three friends like he has, like Job has, because they weren't what we would call friends. They came to him and accused him of all different types of things. And then you have Job's response to each one of those things, defending his integrity, defending his character, defending his godliness. Job was a man of God. Job was a man who loved the Lord. And we find that Job had confidence that God would reward that, and that God would reward his faith, and that God one day would catch him up into heaven. And we know that's where Job is even now. But Job faced very difficult days, and that's what the book is all about. The difficulties that Job faced. In fact, if we would look back, we're not going to for sake of time, but when Job became sick and all his friends left and his family was gone, his wife said, just curse God and die. That's how bad things got for Job. And yet we find Job never lost hope. Job never lost his confidence because it resided in God and not the events that were occurring all around him. His whole world was crashing in and it was burning. And Job, even though it affected him, and even though it concerned him, and even though it disappointed him, Job never lost his trust in God. And next week, as we continue this series on confidence in God, we'll see some other things that Job said and really bring that out. I don't want to turn there now, but Job just simply continued to trust. But it's almost humorous, verses 23 and 24, as he's wishing that his words were recorded for all of time. Verse 24, you see this iron pen and lead in a rock, and you wonder, what in the world is that all about? But if you just simply do a little Bible background study, understand that they would chisel into a rock and then they would fill it with lead if they had something they wanted preserved for generations to come, because they didn't have paper and they didn't have pen and ink. And so that's the way that they did it. If they didn't need it to be preserved as long, they would just scratch into a clay tablet or a soft rock. That's what they did. And so Job is saying, I wish my story was preserved for all of time. And little did he know that was God's intent from the beginning. And the reason he wanted it recorded is because he was going through such difficult times, but he didn't want anyone to ever think. He didn't want his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, on down the line. He didn't want any of them to think that he ever lost his hope in God. And Job knew that his Redeemer lived. You wonder, well, where do I get the opinion that Job trusted Christ by faith? Right here. Job knew he had a Redeemer. That implies that he was a sinner in need of redemption. That implies that Job was unable to save himself without that Redeemer. And so he understood salvation by faith in another. And that other was the Son of God who had come and died on the cross. You see, I believe that God gave Adam and Eve that information. Because you go through all the Old Testament characters that were godly, and almost every single one of them will give a testimony of faith in being saved by another. You see, there has always only been one way of salvation, by faith in the finished work of the Son of God, who gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sin. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He's not a dead Savior, he's a living Savior. Muhammad has long died. Joseph Smith has long passed away. You can take every founder of every religion and they're all dead, and you can go to their tomb and you can worship their relics as they do. And by relics, they mean a piece of bone or a hair strand or something along that line. And they worship that. Where we go to our Savior's tomb, our Redeemer's tomb, and guess what? It's empty. There's nothing there. There's no pieces of a bone to scrape out and to worship because He took them all with Him. Because He's a living Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And not only does He live, but there's coming a day when He will stand upon the earth. You see, Job knew that Jesus Christ not only lived, but that He would be coming back again someday. This is another Bible doctrine that has been believed from the very beginning of time. And I believe Adam and Eve must have been informed of this by God in the Garden of Eden, where He laid out His plan, I believe, of the ages to Adam and Eve. And they then passed it on to the next generation, because Job knew that Jesus would return, not just stay in heaven and let this earth spin on its course for eons of time until the sun finally burned out and this earth quit rotating. Job knew that God would leave heaven and come to this earth, and that at that time He would be resurrected. Job would be resurrected. Because He says in verse 26, after my skin worms destroy this body. He said, I don't know how long it's going to be. I'm assuming that I will die and my body will decompose. But I know He'll raise me up again, because He says, I shall see in verse 27 for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. He believed in the resurrection, that even though He would die and be buried and His body would decompose over the passing of time, that when Jesus came back to this earth, that He would resurrect the dead who had trusted in Him as their Redeemer. You see, Job had confidence in God that there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and that God rewarded those who believed in Him by faith. And so our days, no matter how dark they might be, always have sunshine on the other side, because we know that no matter what happens in this world, that heaven is our end. That heaven is our home. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. And so Paul was saying, and another man who endured great difficulty, great persecution, great affliction, great trials, Paul was saying, all of this doesn't move me, because I know that no matter how bad it gets, and none of us have even come close to what the Apostle Paul went through, Paul's saying, as bad as it gets, it's not even worthy to be compared to what God has waiting for me. Because I've trusted Him as my Redeemer, and Paul would say that I know that my Redeemer liveth, and He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, Paul would say the same thing, yet in my flesh shall I see God. We could go to Bible character after Bible character, and I could show you individual after individual who had unshakable faith in God, that God rewards those who put their faith in Him with heaven. Now, my intent this morning was to turn over the book of Revelation and look at what God has planned, but we don't have time for that. And I think you all know about the street of gold that runs through that city, transparent as it were glass, the walls of jasper, 144 feet tall. The city is four square. I'm trying to remember that, I believe it's 144,000 miles. You go from Cleveland down to the tip of Florida. That's one way. Then it goes from New York City out to about Denver, Colorado. That's how big, and this is just the New Jerusalem described for us in the last few chapters of the book of Genesis. This is not, I'm sorry, the last book, two books of Revelation. And that's just the city, not the entire place we know as heaven where God dwells. And in that city, there's 12 foundations. And they're each a precious stone of varying colors. So that when the sun of God and His glory shines on it, it just, I don't even know what to, how to describe it. All those colors will just be everywhere. It'll be amazing. An amazing city. It has a river of pure water, a river of life of pure water running through it. The tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruit every month. You know, there's no need of the sun there. It doesn't say the sun isn't there. It just simply says there's no need of it. Because the glory of God and of the sun outshine what we know as the sun. There's no temple in that city because we'll worship God face to face. We'll be able to see Him and speak to Him. You see, this is what God has planned, and this is what Job wrote about when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And so as we see our cities burn, as we see lawlessness prevail in state after state, as we struggle to come out from under the coronavirus, don't ever forget that if you're here this morning as a believer in Christ, where He is your Redeemer, then no matter how bad it can get, heaven is on the other side. And that this world should not affect us, and we should be able to say with Paul that it's not even worthy to be compared with what God has prepared for me in heaven above. You see, we of all people have hope and confidence in God. Father, we're grateful for Your word and the promises given to us. I would like to spend more time and consider heaven and the promises You've given us to it. Or of it in Your word. And Father, we know Your word is truth. No error, no mistakes. Not written by the theory of man, but written by the very word of God who created both heaven and earth. And not just heaven and earth, but our very selves, all that exists. We know You tell us only the truth. Father, I'm so glad that I can have heaven as my home. I pray that each one here in the room today had that same 100% assurance. Father, if there's even one that's not 100% sure that heaven is their home, Father, may they, before they leave today, trust Christ as their Savior and have that confidence that the rest of us have. Well, thank You for all that You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.